Hello, and welcome to a very special little mini-sode of the Written World Podcast. I'm Kylie.
And I'm Izzy, and today we're going to be talking about our 2022 Reading Challenge.
Woohoo! So, if you've been following along this year, you know that for the past 12 months, we have been working on our 2022 Reading Challenge, which is a list of different categories of books that we wanted to read by the end of the year. And while we did not jointly get through this list, so we haven't read a book that fits all 20 categories together, we have, between the two of us, covered every category on this list. So we thought it would be fun to just kind of rapid fire through the list and talk about the books that we read for each one.
Absolutely.
In that way, we'll kind of do a little year in review for our reading, you know, like not hitting on everything we've read, I'm sure, but some of the highlights.
Absolutely. I think this comprises about half of what I've read so far this year.
Yeah, I think that's a fair amount. And, you know, I think that means your reading has been fairly well-rounded, which is cool.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk about some of these books.
Well, the first one is up to you, because it is, number one, was a book by an Indigenous author, which we did not manage to get to as a pair, but Izzy did.
Yes, I did. So I read New Piming, The Cure for White Ladies by Leanne Betasomasake Simpson, which is an incredible book that you should definitely check out.
And number two is a work of nonfiction, which we also did not do as a pair. I read some nonfiction. Did you read some nonfiction?
Yes, I did. Do you want to go first?
Sure. So I read a bunch of different things, but the one that really sticks out to me most, and I think anyone who's read it would probably say the same, is I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy.
You got to read it? I'm so jealous.
Oh, yeah. I read it like the day it came out. Like I had it. It was on Scribd and I got it and I read it immediately. And wow. So first of all, she's a really good writer. Second of all, listen to the audiobook because she reads it. And that's just so cool. Like we all know Sam's voice. Jeanette McCurdy, you know, we all know her voice. And so to hear her like tell her own story instead of just being like a goofy character on Nickelodeon was really cool. The book is dark. It's not like an easy read in that sense. And like, if you're not in the happiest mental space, maybe it's not time for that one right now, but it is fascinating, especially if you grew up like watching Nickelodeon and iCarly and everything. Or if you just want like a strong, insightful memoir to read.
Yeah, wow, that's really cool. That was on my list of things to read, but I kind of keep forgetting about it, so.
Well, it's not going anywhere.
This is true. Okay, so my nonfiction book was Emergency, Reading the Popol Vuh in a Time of Crisis by Edgar Garcia, which is basically a book that meshes together like historical context and surrounding translations of the Popol Vuh, which is a mythological text, and it's basically some of Edgar Garcia's own translations, but it's not direct translations, which is why it's a reading of the Popol Vuh and not a translation of the Popol Vuh, because it's very much like him talking about and sort of making into poetry and as a means of decolonizing this work of mythology, as well as writing like essays about it and getting insights from indigenous peoples from South and Central America. So very cool.
Very, very cool.
Hold on, I want to check something really quick, just to make sure that I know. Do 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 do. Okay, I knew this in my head. It's a Maya. The Popol Vuh is specifically Maya mythology.
Nice. Number three is also going to be for Izzy, naturally, because it's a higher epic fantasy.
I actually didn't read that much higher epic fantasy this year so far, which is really disappointing to me, but it's fine. So I read most notably to myself, The Last Wish by Andrzej Sapkowski, which is the first collection of short stories in the Witcher series, which also happens to be fairy tale retellings, but anyway.
All right. Getting two birds stoned.
I have a different book for that too, so.
All right. Four, coming right back to you, for a book of poetry.
I actually read a lot of poetry this year.
Nice!
Yeah, I usually don't really read poetry, not for lack of liking it or anything, but one of the first poetry books I read this year, I actually picked up with Kylie at Sarah Lawrence College when we went to go visit, which was Great Exodus, Great Wall, Great Party by Chessie Normile, which you still need to read. It's still very funny.
Just thinking of the poetry readings we saw when we were there. They still rattle around in my mind sometimes. Number five is a classic, for which I think we're back at you. Can you tell which one of us is at grad school right now?
Yeah, it's me. So number five is The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, which I read for the second time in my life this year. But that was from my undergrad.
The Roaring Twenties are back, so you got to give it another read.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, also, The Great Gatsby also just entered into, like...
public domain.
Yeah. So, I feel like that's a good time to get some retellings out there, which is happening.
Yeah. The Chosen and the Beautiful, right? We read that one. So, I heard about that on a podcast recently, and they just could not stop gushing about it and about the complexity of the characters and the story and, like... how it was just so great, and I just... it's interesting how people have opinions, and they're different from each other's.
It's true.
No, but just, it was interesting to hear thoughts on the other side of it, because we both kind of were iffy about it.
Yeah, definitely. I do think the characters are really complex, and that was my favorite part about the whole thing.
That's very true.
But, yeah. Still, like, very much love Nevo's work. The third book in the Singing Hill cycle came out, like, a month ago, and I still haven't picked it up, because it's been, like, I've been waiting for it for so long, so I'm like, I gotta buy it, but it's too special, and, like, I can't buy it, and it's just so stupid, so I think I'm gonna pick it up tomorrow.
Oh, I get it, though. And then six is one we did together.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a book with a film or TV adaptation coming in 2022.
Yep, which was No Exit by Taylor Adams.
Okay, I honestly hesitated on that because I could not, again, I couldn't remember if we did that one for this or for the thriller category.
Nope.
So.
We didn't do a thriller.
We didn't?
Nope.
Okay, oh yeah, okay, but that's okay. I definitely read one of those, or many of those. Cool. Yeah, No Exit by Taylor Adams. It's on Netflix. The movie came out in, like, February. It's much shorter than the... well, I mean, of course it's much shorter than the book, but it's, like, a lot more compressed than the book. Yeah, if you like, like...
I thought it was on Hulu.
Oh.
Sorry.
I think you might be right. No Exit. Yeah, you're right. No Exit is a Hulu movie that came out in February. Cool cast, to be honest. The Allstate guys in that one. But
the best part.
It is a little distracting. I recently saw him on an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too, which was really funny. But yeah, that one was cool, too. For, like, a kind of locked room mystery thriller deal. Very seasonal at the moment, actually, because it's set on Christmas Eve, at least in the book. Yeah. Number seven, a novella, which was the first one we read for the year, which was A House on Mango Street by Sandra Cisneros.
Mm-hmm.
So go check out the episode on that one.
Absolutely. Similarly, number eight, which is a graphic novel, was The Lolo Woods by Carmen Maria Machado.
Which, of course, we, like, could not stop talking about.
Yeah.
So definitely listen to the episode of that, on that one. And if you haven't read that, and you, even if you're not really usually into graphic novels, highly recommend picking that one up.
Definitely one of my favorites ever.
Number nine, murder mystery or thriller. So I guess this one's me. Do you have any for this?
I have one too.
Okay.
All right. So I read Nothing But Blackened Teeth by Cassandra Kaw, which was very cool. It's sort of like an isolationist thriller, like horror/thriller, based on Japanese folklore. Really cool. The ending was really unsatisfying, but it's a novella and it's really short and you'll blow through it in like one or two sittings, so.
I read The Cabin at the End of the World by Paul Tremblay, which has a really interesting premise. It's not like your typical little cabin in the woods situation. I just wanted to give you the premise because I think it's interesting. So basically this couple, they're a gay couple and they have an adopted daughter from China. And so that's an important background because of all their suspicions about what's happening when they get to this cabin that is then at the end of the world. These strange people come and start telling them that one of them, as in either of the dads or the daughter, who's like 4 or 6 or something, have to sacrifice themselves or be sacrificed by the other two to prevent the end of the world.
Wait, they made this into an M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's coming out soon.
Really?
Yeah!
Oh my gosh, wait.
You were explaining the premise, oh. And I was like, wait, I've seen this trailer, like, multiple times.
Oh, wait, film adaptation. Yeah, you're right. Knock at the Cabin is the name of the film, and it's scheduled to be released on February 3rd, 2023. Oh, I'm excited. Okay.
Watch and it has party. Jonathan Groff in it. I fucking love Jonathan Groff. Oh.
Okay, this is going to be cool. Rupert Grint?
Ron is in it.
He's never in anything.
I know.
Or, I mean, maybe he is, but I never see him.
There's also one of the guys from Guardians of the Galaxy in it.
Dave Bautista? No.
Yeah. Yes, that's him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He plays Drax, I think.
Okay, so this is going to be a fun one. Maybe I'll reread it just for this. I forget some parts of it. No, but I would recommend.
I mean, but then if you forgot parts of it, that's a good
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, so then when you watch the movie, you
can... I guess I'd only be rereading it so I could be like, oh, they changed this in the movie. I feel like I'm really getting into my podcast persona. I've been listening to more podcasts. It's kind of obnoxious, but whatever, it's where we are. So, okay, I'm glad I found out about that. After that, we have number 10, which is a 2022 publication, and that was House of Hunger. And that it was our last episode, so if you haven't read House of Hunger, well, it doesn't matter. So that was our last episode. So go back and listen to that one to hear our thoughts.
Yeah, that's by Alexis Henderson also.
Thank you for adding that. Okay, number 11, fairy tale retelling.
All right. I guess I'll go first. Do you have one?
No.
Okay, cool. So I actually just read this. It's called The New Adventures of Helen by Ludmila Petruskevkaya, which was originally written in Russian and translated. Yeah, that was really cool. It was a fun time. I feel like it was marketed to me differently than what I actually read, but it was still still good.
Number 12 is a middle grade book. Do you have one for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take it away.
Okay, so I have The Dark is Rising by Susan Cooper, which is like a middle grade fantasy book that's quite old at this point, but was a very special gift that someone gave to me. So it also kind of fills my YA book, which is number 13, but I have something else for that, but that's purely upon classification, so we'll see how that goes. Go ahead.
Yeah, this one's tricky. Like, the middle grade to YA division is always unclear. Mine could definitely fit in both, like, because it spans the protagonist's life from the middle grade-ish age to, like, closer to high school. It's also written in verse, which is interesting. I listened to it as an audiobook, so I don't feel like I got that whole experience. But, you know, that's how it goes. Most of the time if I read a... middle grade or YA fiction book at this point. It's because I really like the premise. Like, well, I guess that's why you read a book to begin with. But usually it's because it's some kind of post-apocalyptic thing and I'm really into it. So this one I heard about on a podcast. And so it's Alone by Megan E. Freeman. And it is, I don't remember if I already said that. But basically this girl plans a sleepover with some of her friends. And they're going to go to like one of their family's like cabins or something. Like a vacation home type thing. And they basically... like, she tells her dad she's with her mom, and her mom she's with her dad, and her friends kind of do similar things. Last minute, her friends back out, and she's like, well, I went through all this work. I don't want to get in trouble. I'm just going to go by myself. She goes by herself. And when she emerges, like, everyone's gone. And, like, they'd all been evacuated to some place, and her parents each thought they were with she was with the other, so didn't, like, come looking for her. And they just assumed they'd all get together when the evacuation was complete, and yeah, so it goes from there. So I just thought that was fascinating and had to read it.
That sounds really cool but really stressful.
Yeah.
Okay, so we kind of hinted at this, but number 13 is our young adult book.
Yes.
So what you got?
I read this one for basically the same reason. It's a post-apocalyptic kind of deal. I mean, that's when I got into this stuff. So it's Gone Dark by Amanda Panich. And it the tagline is not, it's not a tagline. It's like a good read. Someone said it. But Dry meets Hatchet in this thrilling tale of survival following a teen girl who must lead her friends across the country. Basically, this girl grew up, her dad was a prepper, like a doomsday prepper, and like made her do all this survival training and stuff. She and her mom like escape because he's kind of crazy. And this is not really any kind of fun life for a young girl. But then the apocalypse kind of comes, like the grid goes down, there's no power, hence Gone Dark. And basically she ends up loses her mom, like, anyway, and she ends up having to lead all of her friends across the country to find her dad, who has the resources to survive this whole thing. And I just think this is the book that I wanted to exist when I was 11 years old, so much so that I tried to write it. This is definitely better than what I would have done, but, yeah, so it was a good ride.
That's awesome. Did it, like, live up to your expectations?
I think so. I think so. For me as an adult, there was a little bit too much like teen angst and like serendipity. But me as a middle grader or YA reader, yes, it would be what I want.
Very nice. Okay. My YA read is kind of not a YA read, but on Goodreads, it's labeled as YA, which I think is hilarious, which is Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll.
Interesting.
I know. I mean, realistically, yes, it is something we read to children, but like reading level wise, I feel like it's more like middle grade to young adult. Like, I would not expect a child, but maybe, I mean, maybe like an elementary school student. Anyway, that's what I have.
I feel like children read, like, the simplified versions of them, not, like, the actual Lewis Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
Alice in Wonderland. Okay. Number 14 is a sci-fi book for which we read Space Opera by Catherine... No.
No. That was before the reading challenge. We read Velocity Weapon by Megan E. O'Keefe.
Those definitely occupy similar spots in my brain.
I know.
Yeah, so for 14 we read Velocity Weapon. Go check out that episode to hear what we thought about it. Now I'm going to my Midwestern mom accent.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. That was pretty great. Oh my gosh. I like that you have like the face to go along with it. Like you did like the little expression and the minimum. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for keeping me in line. Number 15 is what we're working on right now. Unfortunately, I could not get it together in time for this episode, but we'll get there. We'll talk about these books soon. And this is Izzy Picks for Kylie and Kylie Picks for Izzy.
Yeah. So do you want to go over what we're reading? Because we went over it in our last episode. Okay.
You can just say it.
Just say it. Yeah. Kylie got me How to Be Eaten by Maria Adelman, and I tore through this book. I finished it this morning. I died. I also predicted the twist before it happened, and I'm a little proud of myself.
I like it when you can, like, be proud about it and not just annoyed that it's predictable. You know? Mm-hmm. That's way more fun.
I thought it was, like, predictable, but, like, in a good way. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, predictable isn't always bad. We have to remember that. Izzy sent me The Past Is Red by Catherine Imbolente, and I am loving it. I am just simply not complete with it right now. I'm not ready to share my thoughts, but I'm very excited about it, and it's totally up my alley, and Izzy knows that. So it was a great pick. I can't wait to talk more about it.
Yay! Happy dance.
And it was so fun to, like, get a package in the mail and know it was like, this is from my friend, not my Amazon cart.
Such a good feeling when someone else buys you books.
Yeah, it really is. We should do this more.
Yeah, we should. I agree.
We'd be spending the same amount of money, but just feel better about
it. We would. Exactly. We'd be like, ah. But look, I got this gift.
It's a present.
Mm-hmm. Even if we're reading the same books, we should just buy them for each other.
Yeah. All right. Number 16, a book by a trans or non-binary author. We read Rainbow Rainbow by Lydia Conklin. I got this one right. So you can check out our episode and hear all of our thoughts about that and about many other things. That one was a hefty one, so feel free to dive in.
Mm-hmm. All right, number 17 is a translated work, and we read The Bonfire by Gyorgy Dragomon.
We sure did.
Yeah, we did.
That's another episode you can go and check out.
We're really good at this, guys. We're professionals.
Absolutely. No, that was a really interesting one. I think we both kind of had a lot to say about that.
Yeah, so definitely.
Actually, do check out that
episode. It's a good episode.
Number 18 was me and Izzy's first time reading a Stephen King novel, and we read Carrie, just in time for mm-hmm. Halloween.
Yep, you can also check out that episode.
That's what we're here for. Izzy, take it away for number 19.
Okay, number 19 is a book in verse, which I read Spill, Scenes of Black Feminist Fugitivity, I know what words are, by Alexis Pauline Gums. Which is a really cool book, also written in response to another scholar's work. It toes the line between, like, poetry and prose. So, yeah, it's in verse. I mean, that's what 19 is. Anyway, it's cool. It's very cool because I read it sort of as poetry, but then when my professor in my class, which I was reading it for, went over it, we talked about it like it was fiction. So, like, I feel like there's a lot of overlap and, like, genre-lessness because it's also in response to, like, an academic work. So it's really cool.
Sounds like there's a lot in there. Number 20 we did not hit on as a pair for the podcast, but we both read a literary fiction piece. I read The School for Good Mothers by Jessamyn Chan, which I know a lot of people are big fans of Jessamyn Chan. I thought this was super interesting. It was very... The premise is all, like a mother makes a... You can decide if it was a big mistake or a small mistake, but regardless, she's sent away to the School for Good Mothers for an entire year. She's not allowed to see her child, and she's supposedly learning how to be a good mother. It's in, like, a kind of near future society is the vibe. Very, very thought-provoking, asks a lot of interesting questions, very frustrating, like, emotional, harsh, but a really, really good read. I will definitely be reading more from Jessamyn Chan. Over to you.
Okay, cool. I actually want to check that out. So I read Passing by Nella Larsen, which was recently made into a movie that's on Netflix. It was also really good. It was my second time reading it. So also for a class, but for undergrad. Yeah, basically talks about, like, this idea of being a black person who passes as a white person in the 1920s. And plays with conceptions of passing as in the mode of race, but passing for in the mode of sexuality, gender, all of these things. Really cool. Definitely should read. Very short.
Oh, that's super interesting. Mm-hmm. I will be checking that one out.
It's not very long, too.
And I love a short book.
Yeah.
All right. And so that is our piecemeal but still complete 2022 reading challenge. We do have one more episode coming at you, hopefully before the end of the year, which is our Kylie picks for Izzy, Izzy picks for Kylie. We're going to recap those reads. But in the meantime, happy holidays. And I hope you all get some time to sit down and read whatever it is you like to read, and that you come back here and find out what we'll be reading in 2023.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon.